Yeah, I need a waiver tonight, Miss Carr. I need a suspension of the rules tonight, Miss Carr. Help me out. All right, good to see each and every one of you. Lily did come through her surgery okay. You hate lying to your kid, you know. She heard that she was going to get an IV, and she started just having a meltdown, didn't want anything. Knew what an IV was, and she didn't want one, right? And so they gave her some oral medication to relax her, I guess kind of like a kid's Valium or something. And then that gets them kind of ready, and then they give them some gas through a mask that they decorate. They decorate their own mask. Then they put some cotton candy scent on the inside of it so they don't smell that nitrous, you know. And so the anesthesiologist said, you know, we'll have her sitting up. It's not traumatic. They get to look at the monitor as they go to sleep, and we just kind of lay them back and then put the IV in and go to town. So she wanted to make sure Mom and Dad were going in the operating room with her. And we told her as we got to the doors, well, you know, Daddy's going to go get a coffee, and about the time I get that coffee, I'll be back, but you'll already be asleep. So anyway, you hate telling your kids those kind of things, but you feel for the staff that are working there. And so I just ask God's forgiveness. Yeah, not to tell her. No, I asked her when she came out, I go, do you remember me being in there? And she's like, no. And I go, well, I took one of your tonsils out. I go, the doctor did one, and he asked me if I wanted to do the other one. She goes, no, he didn't. You would have passed out. And I go, yeah, that's about right. But it was the doctor said, Dr. Rainey said, that the tonsils were not as big as he's seen in a child her age. They were a little above average, a little swollen. He said it was the adenoids that got her. So the adenoids were, he called them cryptic, where the little fissures, the little microscopic fissures, they had been infected so many times they had scarred, and they were now not microscopic, but they were, you could see them with your eye. And so that's where that strep kind of hides out in, and so you take the antibiotics, it heals your bloodstream and your throat and everything, but it doesn't get that down in there. And so when the antibiotics get out of you, then it just kind of grows back and does what it does. So anyway, so she's free of that, and Stephanie's home with her tonight, and she's had a box of popsicles. She has got to take in, and she weighs 58.7, that's what she weighed at the morning of the surgery, so almost 60 pounds. That's with clothes on, so she's not quite 60, but they want her drinking 55 to 60 ounces of fluid a day. Yeah, so a popsicle counts 3 ounces, and I don't think you get anything for ice cream, but popsicles are 3 ounces, and then she's got apple juice, and we've got Gatorade, and of course water, and all that stuff. So yesterday it was easy to get her to drink. Today it's a little more difficult to get her to drink, but hopefully she'll continue to take in the fluid. She's already ready to eat food, and we're like, man, you can't eat food today. So she's had chicken noodle soup, and Stephanie made some mac and cheese. I told Stephanie to just overcook the noodles, get them really soft, and then stir it all up. So she had some mac and cheese this afternoon. So anyway, she's on the mend and on the go. She wanted to go to a friend's house. We said, you're not going to your friend's house after school. Well, I feel okay. Well, you won't feel okay. You get to running around and carrying on. So anyway, she's cooling her jets and taking it easy, and hopefully she'll be back in school by Tuesday. So she's going to get some schoolwork tomorrow, and so she'll have something to kind of keep her busy for a little bit. That's what's going on there. But thank you all for your prayers, and boy, we cherish the prayers and are thankful for her healing. Amen? All right, well, let's take our Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 41. We'll begin reading tonight in verse... Pardon? Oh, yeah, children's thing. Let's do our Wednesday, Sunday night. Is it Sunday night or Wednesday night? What is it? It's Wednesday night. Boy, it's been a day today. I don't even know what day it is. It's Wednesday. Come on, Pastor Lee. It's Wednesday. Give the program. It's Wednesday. Yeah, okay. Very good. It's my trash day tomorrow. Trash comes Monday and Thursday. All right. Genesis chapter 41, we'll pick it up at verse 14. I'll read through verse 24, and then we'll sit back down and we'll read a little bit more. Amen? Let's all stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Genesis chapter 41, and we'll take it through verse, chapter 41, starting at verse 14, and we'll go through verse 24. The Word of God reads this in Genesis chapter 41, this book of Moses here, book of beginnings. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it, and I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, In my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river, and behold, there came up out of the river seven kine, fat-fleshed and well-favored, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, seven other kine came up after them, poor and very ill-favored, and lean flesh, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and the ill-favored kine did eat up the first seven fat kine. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them, but they were still ill-favored as at the beginning, so I awoke. And I saw in my dream, and behold, seven ears came up in the one stalk, full and good. And behold, seven ears withered thin and blasted with east wind sprung up after them. And the thin ears devoured the seven good ears. And I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you. And Lord, as we look at this second big theme of Genesis chapter 41 tonight, Lord, I pray that you give us wisdom, discernment, that you open our hearts. That, Lord, the things that we know of this passage, you just reaffirm. The things that we need to grasp tonight, you just allow us to get. And, Lord, as the church has come together to celebrate you and to worship you and to praise you through song and through music, through tithes and offerings, Lord, may we worship you as we go through your word tonight. And then may we continue to worship you as we get into our prayer time. Thank you for loving us. We are eternally grateful for our salvation. And thank you for your word. It's in your name we pray. And everyone said, Amen. Amen. We continue to read on here in verse 25 as you're seated. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, The dream of Pharaoh is one. God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good kind are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. And the seventh end and ill-favored kind that came up after them are 7 years, and the seven empty ears blasted with east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh, what God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, and there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Verse 33. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this. And let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. A double tithe, folks. A double tithe is what he's talking about here. A fifth, not a tenth. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities, and that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. I'll get it out in a minute. Amen? So there it is. So last time we talked about Pharaoh's revelation and Joseph's release. That's what we were talking about leading up to that. And now, man, he's been released. And where's he going? He's going straight to Pharaoh. basically what we have here in verses 14 through 36 is Pharaoh's problem. Pharaoh's got a big problem, doesn't he? He's got a big one coming, but he's got this man of God, this humble man of God in Joseph. So we've got Pharaoh's problem and Joseph's plan. And we can say Joseph's plan is from who? From God. Amen. All right. Joseph was hurriedly brought out of Potiphar's dungeon, but he did not face Pharaoh until he had shaved and changed his clothes. He wasn't going in there looking like Pastor Lee. Amen? He wasn't going in there looking like this. You know, he wasn't going in there with a full beard hanging down, an untrimmed Hebrew full beard. He wasn't going in there like that, right? He was going in there clean shaven. To the Hebrews, a beard was a mark of dignity, right? It's a mark of dignity. Is that why I wear one? I don't know. I don't think I'm trying to be dignified. I look younger without the beard, but I look younger when I had more hair, amen? So I don't know if it's really about the age thing, but it just feels right. I don't know. You get that? I just feel like I'm me with the beard on. I feel like I'm me in a pair of jeans and boots. I don't know what that means. That's what I feel comfortable in. You get it? So to the Hebrews, a beard was a mark of dignity, but for the Egyptians, a full beard, now they had their little goatee all strung up and tight and everything, but a full beard from here and all over here and hanging down over the nape of the neck, down here in the chest, right, that you got to clean food out of, a full beard like that. Now, Duck Dynasty thing is what I'm talking about, if you've seen that show. A full beard like that was an offensive thing to these Egyptians. So Joseph took the time to shave himself so as not to unnecessarily offend the king of Egypt. When Joseph came before Pharaoh, the distressing dreams of the previous night were immediately brought up. He didn't waste any time, did he? Well, you know, let's talk about the weather. How's it been in Potiphar's prison? No, I mean, they got right to the point of these distressing dreams because Pharaoh had heard that Joseph could interpret them. Amen? I want to tell you, there are some folks that are in your family, that you work with, they're unchurched, they're lost, they're looking to you. They might not come right out and say it like Pharaoh said it to Joseph, but they're looking for you to live the faith and to share the faith with them that you have said, mumbling underneath your breath, or you've said it out loud to them, or you've made some kind of comment that you're a Christian. They're waiting on you to interpret their lostness and help them with a plan of salvation. They're waiting on you to do that. You be the Joseph in that situation. Amen? And you don't even have to shave, right? You don't even have to shave if you don't want to, right? They probably okay with your beard if you're a man. All right, but anyway, moving on. As much as Joseph desired to be released from his captivity, notice this in the passage. As much as Joseph desired to be released from his captivity, he never brought up the subject. No, it's been really nice in Potiphar's prison, but can I tell you about what happened to me back in the land of my father? He didn't bring that up. Can I tell you what happened to me? You know, Potiphar's a great guy, but did you hear about his wife? You know, he doesn't bring that up either, does he? Joseph's first concern, listen to this, if we want to be instruments of God, if we want to go places for God, not go places for us, but go places for God, that may be wherever God leads you to go. Amen. Go places for God. Joseph's first concern was not with his own comfort, but with God getting the glory. God getting the glory. The ability to interpret dreams, which Pharaoh had credited to Joseph, was Joseph's a gift. It was his ability from God. Only God can interpret the dream through Joseph. Joseph quickly and politely corrected the Pharaoh. I mean, he's not telling the guy what he wants to hear. He's telling him what God wants him to hear. Amen? He's talking to him straight. He's not being a yes man. He's being God's man here. Amen? The young Hebrew slave's words not only clarified the source of his ability, but they also seemed to give Pharaoh hope that the outcome of Joseph's ministry to him would bring him comfort in his distress. Verse 16, "And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." So often God wants to give an answer of peace. Those that are lost, they need an answer of peace. Those that are backslid, they need an answer of peace. Amen? Sometimes you've got to get a word of accountability and a word of confrontation in there, but after the confrontation is over, after the rear end whipping is done, they need a word of love and peace. Amen? A word of peace. That's what Pharaoh needed with his big concern, with his big problem. Well, Joseph, as we read, skillfully did what? He skillfully interpreted the two dreams. His interpretation closely followed the two dreams in many particulars, in many a fact which could hardly have been unnoticed by Pharaoh, and which added credibility to Joseph's explanation. This means seven. This over here means seven. 7 years, not seven plus seven, 14. It's the same thing, seven. Seven here, and then seven over here. Seven good, and then seven bad. And the seven bad are going to be really bad. Really, really, really bad. The two dreams, while different in some details, were one in their meaning, as verse 25 tells us. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, "The dream of Pharaoh is one." God had showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. Both dreams were given in order to indicate the certainty of what was to occur. Verse 34, I love this when the King James Version says this. "And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass." Sovereignty, isn't it? Established. That dude's going to happen. You can kick, scream, whine, and cry, drag your heels, put your head in the sand, pretend it ain't happening, move away. I'm telling you, it's coming, right? This drought, the plenty's coming, the big time plenty, but the big time drought is on its way. A certainty of what was to occur. I love it when the Bible uses established, though, when it talks about us being established. Amen? I'm going to speak on that Sunday morning. Us being established in the Lord. Hopefully, everyone Sunday morning in attendance will be established in the kingdom of God. Amen? Not just be a fan of God. Not just be, ooh, man, God is good, but be a follower of Him. Amen? Not just somebody to come here and get some knowledge and go, wow, I loaded my wagon with some things. No, to come in here and get loaded with some things to do. Amen? A follower. Amen? Got to be more than just hearers. We got to be what? Doers of the Word. Thank you, church. Amen. All right. In each instance of the dream and the dream interpretation of these dreams, in each instance, seven was the time involved. 7 years. The bottom line was that Egypt was to have what? 7 years of plenteous harvest followed by a famine so severe that all of the previous abundance would be consumed. Amen? Kind of like what's going to happen if the Democrats get the White House. Oh, man. I just had to say it. I'm sorry, okay? I know the Democrats got the presidents now. But you think it's bad now? Woo! Man, it's lining up for something. Amen? Not endorsing any candidate, just speaking the truth about the candidates on that side. All right. Sorry, you can chastise me after the message. All right. Just interpreting the dreams, as we move on through this passage, just interpreting the dreams would have been only going halfway. This is what, when we deal with the Word of God, this is the big angst in church. This is the big angst. This is the big, how do we get past this? This is the big, man, I wish this wouldn't happen all the time. We only go halfway with the Word of God. We only go halfway with conviction. We only go halfway. We'll confess, but we won't repent. We'll hear the Word and halfway receive the Word, but we won't do the Word. Amen? I hope. Help me, please. Right? Just interpreting the dreams would have been only going halfway. Oh, this brother does more than that. There was good news And bad news for Pharaoh, there was abundance followed by famine, but Joseph was more than a prophet. He was an applier. He applied. He was an artist of application. He was an administrator of God's truth. Amen. I love that about the story. I love it. Not only was he able to foretell the things to come, prophesy the things to come, but he was also competent to analyze the situation with God's help, amen, analyze the situation and determine the best course of action in order to minimize the famine's detrimental effects and the ultimate future loss of life. I love it. And so a decisive plan of action was proposed to Pharaoh along with the predictions that were given. That was the second half of Scripture that we read, starting in verse 25 and taking it through verse 36. Amen? Make sense? So a capable administrator was required. He should be what? Well, he should be instructed to take command of the situation. He should be instructed to gather up a double portion of the bumper crops that would be produced by the land in the years of prosperity. Under this administrator, men should be appointed to make collections and supervise the storage of the land's produce. And these surpluses should be brought into the cities for safekeeping so that they could later be distributed when there was a need. By these means, the effects of the famine could be minimized. The famine's still coming, but it's going to minimize the effects of it. So this is the big debatable question. Was Joseph setting himself up for a promotion by giving Pharaoh this advice? I don't think so either. Now, had this been Jacob, I would say, I know what old Jacob's doing. Jacob's greasing the wheels, amen? Jacob is looking for a leg up. Jacob's looking for a handout. Jacob's looking to get on out of this thing. And that's what Jacob is looking for, the deal of the century. That's what Jacob Trump. Amen? Now, the art of the deal. There you go, Jacob Trump. He would have been running hard. Oh, Jacob Trump would have been, right? But Joseph is different than his daddy in that sense. Oh, Joseph is different than Jacob. As we study through the life of Joseph, I want to tell you, Joseph's a good guy. I mean, Joseph is a good guy. As we study through the life of Joseph, now I've gained an appreciation, a deeper appreciation than before we studied this book of beginnings and got to this section of dealing with Jacob. I mean, a deeper appreciation for the character that is evident in the Word of God that Moses shows us, the character and humble spirit of Joseph. He doesn't break out the violin and the wine and the cheese and try to wine and dine Pharaoh and talk about how he wants to get out of Pharaoh's prison and how he's been done wrong back in the home of his fathers, and he just wants to get on home. And man, if I tell you this dream, can we just work it out? So I tell you, and then you just usher me out of here and I'll be gone. No, he doesn't do that. He's there to be an instrument. He's there to be an instrument. Well, man, he's just so blessed, Pastor, to be second in command in the land, and man, to have all this power and authority, friend, he's getting ready to get a J-O-B. I mean, a big J-O-B. One that God better be on him. God's hand better be on him, or his head is going to be on a platter, right? Yeah. Where much is given, what? Oh, much is required, friend, and here it comes for Joseph. Joseph was not setting himself up for a promotion by giving Pharaoh this advice. A humble spirit, a great character, and that I don't think being promoted by Pharaoh to handle this most important project, I don't think that ever crossed his mind. He knows who he is. He's a Hebrew. He's a shepherding Hebrew. Yes, he can do some great administrative things. And yes, he has a great administrative mind, but he's not kidding himself. He's not them kind of people. He's folks from the other side of the country that they kind of turn their noses up at. He's the shepherd boy that they don't even want around. Right? They despise these Hebrew shepherds, these nomadic clan groups. They have no interest in them. Self-interest had never been manifest in his character or conduct prior to this. The only thing close to it is when he tells the butler, when this all works out good for you, could you please mention my name? Don't forget me. Don't forget me. He wasn't asking for anything that wasn't due him, a fair hearing for a false accusation. Amen? Nothing wrong getting out of jail when you hadn't done the crime, right? You've done the crime, do your time. You hadn't done the crime, it's okay to get out. Amen? It's okay to get out, right? Furthermore, who could ever have conceived of a Hebrew slave, a young Hebrew slave, being elevated to the second highest office in the land? Amazing, isn't it? God is on it. God is on him, and God is in the midst. Regardless of the person in charge, the plan would have to be followed in order to deal with the famine, which was predicted. You know, we have a famine in the land today, don't we? We've got a famine of sin. I want to tell you, it's a great famine. And it almost seems like the old sin is going to gobble up the good. But you know what? There's a plan in God's Word. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, isn't it? Right? And if we will just administer the truth, if we will just take the truth that we discover on our own, take the truth that we receive in Bible study time, Sunday school, take the truth that we glean from Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night gatherings, take that truth. Take that truth that we hear on Christian radio and we hear good, solid teaching on Christian TV. Not the wackadoos, but the good, solid stuff. Take that truth and just administer it. Dole it back out. For God can take care of some famine, some sinful, deceitful hearts headed to hell. Those dry, old hearts condemned already. Oh, God can take that truth and minister to them if we will what? If we'll share it back. Amen. We're storehouses. Amen. We're storehouses. But a storehouse has to do what? Storehouse has got to pay out. Got to pay out. Some of you like them. Let me see if I can get the name right. Some of, and not when I say, I'm talking real general. So let's, maybe not you specifically, but. But some Christians are like those... Some Christians are like those one-armed bandits. You know what I'm saying? Like in Louisiana that you kind of sneak off to and you play the slots, right? And you get your little free drinks and your free room and all that. Like them... You don't want to be a one-armed bandit. I mean, you really want to pay out. Amen? You really want to pay out on truth. When the truth comes in, you want to get the truth out. Them silly things. I don't know why people keep feeding them. Right? Put that in your Christmas offering or something, right? Well, Pastor, it's entertainment. Think about the entertainment of one day being in glory and see that little Christian boy or girl that's grown up into a Christian man, right? That's going to be entertaining one day. Thank you for giving to the Lord. Amen? Thank you for giving to the Lord. Woo! That's going to be a bigger thrill than hitting that big jackpot, right? Right? Trying to get some of the devil's money. All right, man, I'm meddling tonight, ain't I? All right, okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. I've covered politics and gambling and... Man, I hadn't touched on drinking tonight. I'll leave that alone. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. No, I did touch on drinking. I sure did. I covered some stuff. All right. How did you cover that? I don't know. I have no idea. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you tonight for your word. Thank you for the truth and the honesty of it, Lord. Thank you for the things that we can get out of it. Thank you for the wonderful prophecy that we have in Genesis 41 and the model of prophesying that we see this young man of God, Joseph, do. He tells the truth. Oh, he doesn't sugarcoat it. He doesn't strip it from its essence. Oh, He gives it powerfully and honestly to this Pharaoh who desperately needs to hear it. And Lord, we're thankful that You are using him as an instrument in this chapter. We want to be instruments as well. But Lord, we've got to be established in You. And You've got to be established in us. And help us, Lord, hold us to it so that we might do Your bidding, so that we might tell Your message. Help us. Be with us as we go through this time of prayer. It's in Your name we pray. And everyone said, amen. All right, what kind of praises do we have tonight? Praises. Yeah, Bobby.